welcome to the Geneva Health Files podcast. I am Preeti Patnaik, the founding editor of Geneva Health Files, a weekly investigative newsletter that explores power and politics in global health. In this episode, we will talk about how countries are working to change the way the world responds to public health emergencies in the wake of the disastrous effects of COVID-19. The pandemic claimed more than 20 million lives, according to the World Health Organization. So what are 194 countries who are member states of the WHO doing to ensure that the world has learned the lessons from this crisis? Geneva has been a hive of activity these days. Historic negotiations are underway that are running in parallel. First is changing existing rules, and the second, coming up with new rules. Today, in the autumn of 2023, we try to present to you the processes and key issues at stake in these negotiations unfolding in Geneva. Countries have been discussing and negotiating ways to improve the existing rules, most notably amending the international health regulations. These are technical rules that underpin the global architecture of public health emergencies. The current version of the IHR came into force in 2005. Member states of the WHO are now working to make these rules fit for purpose. They're aiming to improve how disease outbreaks can be better detected in time before they become health emergencies or pandemics. They're also discussing how countries could avoid inequities in the response to health emergencies, perhaps by having new rules on how to share information and making sure that countries have access to medical products during health emergencies. The other big piece of these efforts are what are being referred as a generational opportunity to put in place a new pandemic accord. Many countries have been of the view that existing rules, though useful, were inadequate in responding to emergencies as demonstrated by COVID-19. After initial hesitation in some quarters, by late 2021, countries eventually decided they needed a new set of rules. The proposed pandemic accord is meant to be broader than the IHR and are intended to involve a wider set of actors across governments and not just technical specialists from health ministries. Remember that although WHO has power to make laws, it has done so only once in its history of 75 years. The Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, or the FCTC, was the last time countries came together to draft new and binding rules in global health. So naturally, a lot is at stake. To appreciate the breadth of what a new pandemic accord sets out to do, sample this. First, countries must define and agree to what constitutes a pandemic. They are also proposing to draw up new rules on sharing information on pathogens. They must also agree on how benefits from sharing such information will accrue to countries. They have to agree on ways to have obligations on sharing medical products. Some countries are keen on having new rules to monitor zoonotic spillovers of the kind witnessed during COVID-19. This is being loosely referred as the One Health approach. Finally, they should agree on ways to finance pandemic preparedness and response. So it is a marathon effort that has been taking shape in Geneva over the last 2 years and will come to a head by the summer of 2024, when countries are expected to finish up with these negotiations. Whether such a deadline is still feasible is an open question. A year into the pandemic of COVID-19, in January 2021, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus first announced his support for a pandemic treaty.
There have been several reviews of the global response to the pandemic with many recommendations for strengthening global health security. They all recognize the need for better systems and tools, better financing, including for global public goods such as vaccines, better global governance, and a stronger, empowered, and sustainably financed WHO. To connect and underpin these ideas, I believe the time is right for an international treaty or other legally binding instrument to provide the framework for a more coherent and coordinated response to future epidemics and pandemics. Whatever new structures or mechanisms are established, they must promote equity and galvanize the engagement and ownership of all countries. They must be multi-sectoral, involving partners from across the One Health spectrum. They must be coherent with the international health regulations. They must be rooted in the constitutional mandate of WHO, and they must be accountable and transparent.
The genesis of the idea was originally conceived at the European Council in Brussels, led by President Charles Michel. The reason this is important to recall is that the idea of a treaty to govern pandemics primarily came from the European Union. In a matter of weeks, by March 2021, the European Union had stitched together the friends of the treaty by bringing together more than 25 African and Asian countries. Soon after, at the World Health Assembly in May 2021, all countries agreed to explore the idea and the need for an international instrument. Initially, a number of countries, including China, India, Brazil, the United States, were skeptical of such a move. Long-drawn discussions and negotiations followed over the next few months, where the general direction of a new set of rules for governing health emergencies was decided. By November 2021, at a special session of the World Health Assembly, all countries came on board to negotiate a pandemic accord. This was a remarkable shift for the early treaty skeptics. For the next year, throughout 2022, countries had many consultations on how such an instrument could be structured, what kind of legal route it must take, what kind of obligations it could contain. By February 2023, countries had framed their proposals and a basic draft, or the zero draft, of a pandemic accord was ready. There have been several iterations in this process. The coming months will see frenzied negotiations in Geneva, where countries will try and work together to come closer on their positions. A first draft could potentially come up before December 2023, provided countries are able to close in on their divergences. And if you want to understand the significance of a new pandemic accord in relation to the amendments of the IHR, here is Precious Matsoso, one of the co-chairs of the Bureau of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body.
Because they're politicians, they were viewing this much more broadly, precisely because it wasn't just about life loss, it's about their economies. And they've recognized that you needed something at a much higher level. And from that perspective, I think there's still this expectation that we need to come up with something that is much broader. IHR should feed into it, and in a seamless way, so that the two instruments should not be viewed as one competing with the other. It must be seen as a continuum.
The INB was set up to negotiate and establish a new legal instrument. You can check out the full interview on the INB process in one of our previous episodes. So why is this process so difficult? As always, politics. One can be forgiven for viewing global health law as being merely technical. At the face of it, it is. But politics has defined nearly everything about these discussions, from the inception to the process to the provisions. In addition to politics, there are deep commercial and business interests at the heart of these negotiations. Embittered by the experience of COVID-19, when a handful of rich countries hoarded vaccine doses, matters of equity and the access to medicines, vaccines, and tests is a priority for the developing world. Remember that some low-income countries have less than 30% of their population vaccinated against COVID-19. So the need for equitable access is really the fundamental basis of these discussions. But this is also fraught with diametrically opposite intentions and motivations. Countries do not have the same priorities. Issues such as surveillance, access to outbreak sites, accountability, and sharing of information are broad goals for the developed world. At stake are rules on intellectual property that determine how medical products are designed, traded, and distributed. This has contributed to scarcity in the times of need, notably during COVID-19, as many developing countries have argued. But this is not the only contentious matter. How will countries share information? And how will such information be stored and distributed has also been the subject of much discussion. Developing countries want to know whether they will be able to get access to medical products that will be produced using the information they share. There are also issues around accountability and governance. How should compliance with rules be improved? Can enforcement be codified? There are a host of other matters that need to be negotiated. So what can we expect in the coming months? This is undoubtedly a historical moment. From expanding the space of global health over trade and IP-related concerns to seeking higher accountability for future outbreaks of diseases with pandemic potential, to rules on pandemic preparedness and response financing, these negotiations have tremendous potential. Here we are in the fall of 2023, where countries are now entering into the thick of these negotiations to conclude their discussions by May 2024. Remember, with an evolving climate crisis, geopolitics, wars, the attention of countries on public health is already waning. COVID-19 has become a distant memory. Hence, the urgent need to finalize these rules, countries believe. And because the stakes are so high, expect serious politics and much bargaining. And in the end, it will depend on what countries will actually agree to sign up for. While many remain skeptical that countries would drastically change the status quo, there is general optimism that countries of the world will not waste an opportunity to come up with useful and far-reaching, meaningful rules to prevent, prepare, respond, and recover from health emergencies in the future. Remember that both these tracks of negotiations will run in parallel. In addition to drawing up a pandemic accord, countries are also reviewing 300 proposals to amend the IHR. Here is Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, one of the co-chairs, leading the process of amending the IHRs.
It's clear that there are some aspects of that final package of IHR amendments that will be linked to and dependent on where the IMB process finishes. And so there will be a need for us to remain, I guess, in step right up until May 2024.
You can also check out the full interview on the IHR amendment process in one of our previous episodes. At Geneva Health Files, we have been tracking these negotiations ball by ball. And we are keenly watching the actors influencing these negotiations, positions of countries, and whatever else is happening outside of these negotiations that could potentially have an impact on these discussions. Do also check out our previous episodes where diplomats leading these two-track negotiations spoke exclusively and extensively with us. Thank you for listening. Keep an eye on these discussions and other headlines from Global Health Geneva. Check out our newsletter at genevahealthfiles.substack.com. That's genevahealthfiles.substack.com. Or follow us on social media at X, formerly Twitter, on @FilesGeneva. You can also follow me on Twitter @PretPat. Until next time, goodbye.